Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Tzadi. We begin three lines from the top with a repeating of the Mishnah where we quote, Klipe egozin u klipe rimonim, sot yisupua kidei litzvoa beged katan. If you remember, we learned in the Mishnah that these are various types of produce that make dyes. So these are the shells over here of egozim, of various nuts, and the peels, the shells of the pomegranates. Sotis, as we said, is safflower. Pua is something called madder. And all of these, if a person takes them out, so these are used for dyeing. So if you take out enough to dye a beged katan, which we said was this little doodad, this little patch on the hat that the woman used to wear. So this is considered to be a significant act of caring. If you did this by accident, yichai v'chatas. Continuing in our discussion of things that if you do them, if they're significant, yichai v'chatas, if you did them by accident, caring on Shabbos. Now, this seems to go against what we've learned previously. Urmini, we learned in a braisa, hamotzi samonim shiruyim, if you take out dyes that are already soaking. So we'll see, this is already the answer. We're alluding to it over here in the question. We're dealing here with dyes that are already soaking. Kidei litzboa behen, and you're carrying them out to dye something with it, then you carry out what's considered a significant amount is for dugmo li'ira, that this is the amount that you have a dugmo. It's like a swatch over here that is the size of an ira. Ira is something that a weaver would use. Rashi explains over here, the weaver would use this in the weaving process, that size of a material. So ma'atzemer, it's a certain amount of wool, shehu kimin dugma, that's a swatch, shemara hatzeva labalabat, bias, that he would show to the people interested in purchasing his products, kazeh, this size, and it's a certain amount that the weavers would use, so this is a well-known amount, and this is smaller than the amount for this beged cotton that was in the woman's hat. So kash over here you're telling me that it's the size of this beged katan, and it's really the size over here of this dugma li'ira. So more answers, hoyet mar lo, now that's in parentheses, but it's true, we've already learned this previously, but 10 days ago, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said the name of Rav Baravua, lefi she'en adam toreach lishro samamonim litzpo ben dugma li'ira. Nobody's going to go and start soaking these dyes just for such a small amount as this ira, this dugma li'ira. However, once you already have the dyes, then that's considered a significant amount to go and dye this one dugma li'ira. But to go and make the dyes in the first place, so then to carry out the klipe gozen and klipe rimonim, etc., then you need a larger amount, the amount that would dye this beged katan. The Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah, which says, Meira glayim. A person is not allowed to carry out meira glayim. A significant amount of that will make you chayv achatas. How much? So tana, meira glayim ad ben arboim yom. The girsa that we have is that the Meira Glayim is up to 40 days, ad ben mem yom. So the simple understanding of that is that the Meira Glayim has to be 40 days old. Tosus doesn't like this. Tosus says, we learned elsewhere that if it's 3 days old, that already is going to be capable of being a good detergent over here. You don't have to wait till it's 40 days old that it becomes so astringent and so foul that it can act as a detergent. So you only need it 3 days old. So he has two other girsas over here. One, he says it's from a child, ben mem yom, that you read it this way, that it's from a child who's 40 days old, but then Tosa says that's not right either, because we see elsewhere that any urine from a person would be able to function this way, and therefore he says the best girsa over here is ad mem yom. Ad mem yom means that it will be good as a detergent from day 3, but beyond day 40, it loses its ability to be a detergent. In any event, that's the type of urine that you have to carry out in order to be chayiv over here. That's considered significant. Then we quote the Mishnah, we say Neser. Neser, we said, was something called Natron. It's also a detergent. How much of that do you have to carry out? Tana, so we learned, Neser Alexandris. We're talking here about Neser Alexandris, which is a stronger type of Natron, and therefore you need a smaller amount. Below Neser Anpatrin, and not the Neser that comes from a place called Anpatrin. Others have the Girsa, Antipatris. In any event, it's the name of a place, and there that detergent was not as strong, so therefore you needed a larger amount of it. So when you're saying the shear is a small amount, it's the shear of the Neter Alexandris and not the Neter from Anpatrin. Then we quote from the Mishnah, the other type of detergent was something called Boris, Rabbi Yehuda zechol. Rabbi Yehuda says that this boris is sand. Mor says, but wait a second, we have a brisa that seems to say that boris and sand are two different things. Well, Tanya, ha boris vechol. So it says in this brisa that you have either boris or chol. So obviously, the definition of boris can't be chol. So Mor says, you're right, taka, ella my boris. So what is boris? It's something called kabrisa. What is kabrisa? So Rashi says it's gofris. Gofris is sulfur. So this is sulfur. That's what this boris is. Boris says that's also a problem. Meisve, we have a brisa that seems to say that boris is different than kabrisa. What does the brisa say? Hosifu aleim. Rashi explains over here they're talking about other things that can have the din of shemitah of shviyas applied to them. So in addition to the other things that I mentioned previously in this brisa, they added on hosifu aleim that the following things are also capable of having shemitah. Hachalbitzin. Chalbitzin is again a foreign language word. Rashi tells us that means a certain type of a plant. Vali'inun. Rashi says this is a plant called the la'ana. And then it says over here, va'boris, it tells us boris, v'ha'ohel, and it says, v'isalka daito kavrisa, if you're going to tell me that boris is in fact this gofris, so then it doesn't grow in the ground. So kavrisa, miso b'shvias. How would you have a possibility to say that this kavrisa is in fact shvias? Because now the girsa that we have is v'hotnan, but it really says on the side, this is a price, it should be v'hotanya. It says, Zaklal, the rule of Shemitah is, Kol sheyeshlo ikar, anything that has roots, yeshlo shvias, there is a potential din of shvias. However, v'sheinlo ikar, like gofris, which has no roots in the ground, ainlo shvias. So how can you tell me that this boris has a din of shvias, and that it's gofris? Can't be. So one says, Taka, you're right. Elamai, boris, ohalo. You know what boris is? It's ohalo, it's aloe. Now, that's a problem, because the price that we just brought down said, v'ha boris, v'ha ohal. And that's what the Gemara now says. But Tanya, but you just told me that boris and ohal are two different things. So Gemara says, you're right. Elo, trei, gabne, ohal. There actually are two types of ohal. One is called boris, and then there's another type of ohal called ohal. So therefore, it's two different things. Tosu says that, why don't we say the same answer for chol? When we had, we said the boris was chol, and we said, no, it couldn't be. So why don't we say there are shnei, trei gabne chol, there are two types of chol over here. Or they could have said, the two, just like we said over here, the two types of ohala. So he says, mishum dekimle, delakabu trei gabne. Because there aren't two types, therefore, for the ohala, we had a kabbalah, that there are two types, and we didn't have that for the chol. And he brings down, v'yesh svarim, the garsilel, my boris ohala. Some actually had that. Some actually had that as the gear so beforehand. In any event, now we conclude with the last of the detergents known as kimolya, which we brought down yesterday. Some people called kimonya. In any event, what is this? Amar Yehuda Shluf Dutz. It's a detergent known as Shluf Dutz. What is this? The Rashi says he doesn't know. Lois Parish. We don't know what it is. Avokachmo. That's the name of this detergent. Then the last detergent that was mentioned was something called ashlag. What is ashlag? Omer Shmuel, Shiltinu L'chol N'chosayam. I asked all the sailors what they understood. The sailors must have traveled all over the place, and they knew some of these words from other places, and I asked them what it is. Bar-Mor Li, they said it's something called Shonana Shmei. That's its name, is Shonana. Where do you find this detergent, this ashlag? Umishtakach Benukva D'Marganisa. You find it in Benukva D'Marganisa, in the holes of the pearls. The parzlan. You have to go remove it over here by taking this little metal implement. Rashi says, Perdura shel barzel. It's a little pointy instrument, and you take out over here this ashlag from these holes. Fine. Next Mishnah. Pilpeles. Pilpeles is normally peppers. However, Rashi brings down right from the beginning, and he says, Eino pilpul shalot. It's not our peppers over here. It's a different type of pepper, and it's used for different purposes. It's used over here for preventing bad breath. In any event, our peppers would normally cause bad breath. A sharp pepper can cause bad breath. These pilpels that they're talking about over here prevent bad breath. So the Mishnah tells us that any amount of this is considered significant, because any amount can work to prevent the bad breath. So pilpeles kolshu. If you take out any amount of this pilpeles by accident on Shabbos, you'd be chayv achatos. The itron. Itron is tar. So also kolshu. If you take it out for any amount, it is going to go and be significant. The Gemara will tell us it has a certain benefit for migraines, and therefore any amount is considered beneficial. Likewise, mine bisamim. Now these bisamim here that we're talking about are not bisamim for food. These are bisamim that are for aroma. They're like perfumes. Umine matchos, and also types of metal over here, koshkin. Any amount is considered significant as well. We'll see why when we get to the Gemara. Likewise, may avnei hamizbeach, if you take out the stones of the mizbeach, chips for the mizbeach, you're taking them out, or dirt from the area of the mizbeach, all of these things as well are considered significant in any amount. Likewise, mekek svarim. Mekek, we'll see, is a name for a certain type of a worm that goes and causes the svarim to decay, or mekek mitbechoseim, or the worms that cause over here the decay, the spoilage, if you wish, of the covers of the svarim, kolshu. Any amount of any of these things is considered significant. Why? Shematzninos only gonzon, because this item over here, either the Avdei Mizbeach, the offer of the Mizbeach, or the Mekek Svarim, Mekek Mitproseim, is considered significant that you have to go and put it away, Legonzon. Therefore, any amount is considered significant. Reviewed Omer, Afa Motzi Mishamshe Avodazara Kosher. If you take out any amount of a Mishamshe of an Avodazara, the things that are used, the accoutrements for an Avodazara, so you're also going to be chayev even for any amount. Why is that? Because even a small amount is considered significant based upon the pasuk Shenemar, V'lo yidbak biyotcha me'uma minachayim. You're not even allowed to have a little tiny bit of the item that's in chayim over here, the item that was not allowed to be used. So even a me'uma, even a little bit of it is considered significant because even a little bit of it is osur. Now the Gemara will explain this. Gemara starts off and tells us, Popelos koshu, any amount of this pepper is considered significant. Why? Lamai chazia, for what benefit is it? L'reach hapeh, it's for bad breath. So therefore, even a little bit will help remove the bad breath. Likewise, itron koshu, if you have a little bit of this tar, that's also considered significant. What benefit is even a little bit of this tar? Lamai chazia? So Gemara says, L'tzil chasa. What's so chasa? Rashi says, Ko'ev chatzia rosh. It's a headache of half of the head. That's usually something like a migraine, which affects sometimes people on only half of their head. So therefore, that's what this benefit, this itron, can go and help that. Then we said, if you take out any amount of these aromatic spices over here, not for food purposes, but for making a nice smell, so that's also considered significant. Tana Rabban, we learned in the Braisa, Hamotzi Reach Ra Kolshu, if a person takes out a bad foul-smelling item, he's also chayef even a little bit. Shemen tov kolshu. Likewise, if you take out shemen tov, good shemen, so that's also considered as an aromatic substance, even a little bit is considered significant. Argomon, if you take out this dye called argomon, Rashi says, tseva shetsovim bo argomon. This is the dye that you make argomon, a purple dye. For time alone, she doesn't say why, but he gives his own answer, v'linira shagamu royal ariach, because it can be used also for smell, and has a nice aroma to it, and therefore, even a small amount is considered significant. Ubesulas haveret echos, and even one rose petal is considered significant over here. Rashi says, ale shalveret, this is a rose petal. Bochur achas, even a young one, is considered significant over here. Mishnah continues, it's quoted, it says, Mine matris, Kolshein, any small amount of metal is also considered significant. Lamai chazu, for what benefit is a small piece of metal? So here the Braisa tells us, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Meir, Shekein roi lasos mimeno dorbon kota. You can use it over here to make this little implement called a dorbon, a small dorbon. What does a small dorbon do? It prods the ox, and therefore you stick it into the animal, and the animal will move. So therefore, this is something that a small amount of metal can be used for. The Braisa continues, Tana Rabbanon, Omer, Harielai Barzel, if a person takes upon himself to be Makdish Barzel. He says, I'll donate Barzel to the Beis HaMikdash. So how much do you have to bring? So Achayim Omerim, the Achayim is usually a Meir, the Achayim say, Lo Yivchos Me Amo Al Amo. You're not allowed to give less than a one Amo by one Amo piece of metal. Anything less than that is not considered significant. Of what value is something that size? L'may Chazya. So I'm Rav Yosef, L'Kalya Orev. Rav Yosef says it can be used for something that they put on the roofs of houses, such as the Beis HaMikdash, in order to scare away the birds. You can see this on houses nowadays. They sometimes have these little spikes on the top of the roof, and the birds don't land there. And therefore, this Kalya Orev is made up of this metal that's an Amma by an Amma. Tosus brings down over here that in the Aruch, he brings down that this was not necessary in the first Beis HaMikdash. It was only in the second Beis HaMikdash, which had less Kedusha, so they needed to scare away the crows. But in the first Beis HaMikdash, the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash itself kept it away, but he brings down that not everybody agrees with that opinion. Others have a different version of a Gemara, the exact same conclusion, but they just have it the other way around. Vika, the Amre, others said, the Acherim Omrim lo yivchos mikaya orev. The Acherim were the ones that said, you have to have enough metal over here for the kaya orev, for this type of a spike on top of the house to keep the birds away. And then, the Kama, how much is that? So it was Rav Yosef that said it was an Amma by an Amma. Amr of Yosef, Amma al Amma. So the exact same thing, just different versions of how it was said. The Gemara now continues to quote from this price, and it says if a person donates nechoshes, he says, Stam, I donate nechoshes, he has to give lo yivchos mi more kesef. He can't live less than a more kesef. That's the amount, the minimal amount, when a person says he's going to give nechoshes, he has to give at least a more kesef worth. How much is a more kesef? So Rashi says over here, nechoshes shav a more kesef. The amount of copper that you would buy with a more kesef of silver, that is the amount of copper. Tosus asks over here, why is it not a pruta? Elsewhere it says that it's a pruta. Okay, in any event, that's what this brisa says. Tanya, another brisa says differently, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo yivchos mitzinora ketana shel nechoshes. No, there's even a small amount that you could give. You can't give less than a tzinora ketana, a small little fork of nechoshes. What is that used for? L'may chazya. So Abai says, shemechatetin bo es apsilos umekanchen haneros. This is a certain little type of metal implement, like a fork, that you go to clean out the menorah over here, and you can also make the wicks. You slice the wicks a little bit, you trim the wicks, and that's what this little metal fork is used for, this copper fork is used for. Then we quote the Mishnah where it says, Mekek Sfarim or Mekek Mitpachas, even a small amount of this, because it has to be hidden away, so it is considered over here significant even to carry out a mashu. What does the word Mekek mean? Amr of Yehuda. Yehuda tells us that this is a type of worm. This mekek is the sifre. There was a certain type of worm that would go and cause the svarim to be broken down, and the mitpachas, the covers of the svarim to be broken down, and this worm did this. So it's like a moth. So this mekek over here would destroy those. You had other types of worms, techoch, that was the name of the worm, the shiroi, that was going to break down silk. Then you had another type of worm, v'ilah, the inve, and that would break down the grapes. And then you had another type of worm, upeh, that's the name, upeh, that was the tani. It was the worm that was found inside the figs. And then there was another type of worm, the ha was the name of the worm, the rimoni, that was found in the pomegranates. And all of these worms, kulusakanta, if a person were to eat them, it would be very dangerous. As Rashi says, la'ochlan, this would cause a lot of trouble. And ma'isa shoya, how tamida, the havi yosef, kamei Rav Yochanan, the once was a Talmud that was sitting in front of Rav Yochanan, and he was eating over here these te'enim, have a ka'ochel te'enim, he was eating these figs. And Omalei, he said to the Rebbe, oi Rebbe, Rebbe, kotzin yesh batenim, there's some very sharp thorns inside of these te'enim. Now, Rav Yochanan realized, unfortunately, he ate over here these worms, they're known as the peh, that were inside these te'enim, and it's very dangerous. So he said, Amalei, he said, either to the Talmud, others aren't chorus the word lay over here, he just said, Katlei peh ledein, well, this kid, Nebuch's going to be killed over here because of this worm, this peh, and Rav Yochanan was proclaiming, oi, 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 this is a terrible thing. Okay, next Mishnah. Continuing our discussion of things that are significant that are carried out, Hamotzi Kupas Arochlin, if a person who is a Rochel, we have the idea that Rechilus, you spread terrible things about a person, so he's a Rochel. So a Rochel is a peddler who goes from town to town, from house to house, peddling wares, and he often would tell Lashon Hara. So therefore, that's where the expression a Rochlin, a peddler comes from, and that's why Rechilus uses that lashon. So Hamotzi Kupas Arochlin, if a person is a peddler and he's carrying out the peddler's wares over here, so in this situation, even though he has a lot of little compartments over here in his box of wares, so nevertheless, he only brings one chatas, carries this item out on Shabbos, because it's all considered grouped together in this peddler's box that he's carrying it out in, this kupa that he's carrying it out in. Fine. If a person takes out zero negina, if a person takes out seeds, so pachos mikrogeres, if it's less than a grogeres, it's still considered significant according to the Tanakama. Again, if he was eating it, then you need to have a grogeres, because we said with regards to all of the eatings, the shear is a dried fig, this grogeres. But since he's doing it for planting over here, then he doesn't have to take out the full grogeres. If he even takes out pachos mikrogeres, it's considered significant. Now, some suggest that Rav Yehuda ben Becerra is now arguing with the Tanakama. Others say he's explaining the Tanakama. So let's just read it nice and simple. The Tanakama said, Pachos mi grogeres, less than a grogeres, and Yehuda ben Becerra omer chamisha. Even if you take out five seeds, that's considered significant, and implying that the Tanakama seems to say more than five seeds, but less than a grogeres. Others say, no, that the shear of the grogeres, the Pachos mi grogeres over here, is the five seeds. We turn to the Amud Beis, Zera Kishuin, if a person takes out cucumbers, Kishuim or cucumber seeds. So, Shnayim, the minimal shear for being significant is taking out two seeds. Zera Diluin, Diluin are gourds. So if he takes out Shnayim, two seeds of gourds, that's considered significant. Zera pola mitzri, if you take out the seeds for this pola mitzri, this type of a bean, also shnaim is considered significant. So all of these beans, all of these seeds, the cucumbers, the gourds, or the Egyptian bean, the pola mitzri, all of them are considered significant with two seeds. The Mishnah continues and says, Chagov chai tohar, if you take out a kosher locust while it's alive. Again, we don't have Kabbalah today about which are the kosher locusts in some of the Middle Eastern communities, in the real Taimani communities. So they do have Kabbalahs about locusts, and Mistama, they eat the locust. That there's a Kabbalah that they have, that these are the kosher ones. We know that Chumash tells us what are the kosher ones. In any event, if a person takes out a live, tohar, kosher locust, so then the shear is kosher. The Gemara will explain to us that they would use this for the children to play with. This was like a toy. So even if it was less than the shear, if it was food, the shear would be a grogeris. So even if it's smaller than a grogeris, if you're taking out a live kosher locust, so then the shear is any amount, this small amount, kosher. Mace, but if you're taking out a dead kosher locust, so then grogeris, then it's food. So therefore, the regular shear of food, grogeris, a dried fig, is the shear. Tziporis krumim, the Gemara is going to tell us Tziporis krumim is another type of locust. It's another type of sheretz over here. So bein chaya b'mesa here, if you take this out, whether it's alive or whether it's dead, so kosher, the shear is any amount. Why is that? So the Mishnah tells us shematznino solar food, because it has medicinal benefits. So any amount of the alive or the dead type of a locust over here, known as Tziporis krumim, will be significant. Finally, Rehud Omer, he says, even if you take out a non-kosher locust, a chogov that is not kosher, but it's alive, that is considered kosher. The children will play with it, as he says, and therefore it's considered significant even if it's less than a grogeris. Now, why doesn't the Tanakama hold like this? Tanakama only said this for a kosher locust. The Gemara will explain. We start off Ramini, we have a brice that it seems to contradict our Mishnah. We learned this brice also a while ago. Zevel v'chol hadak. If you have fertilizer over here, zevel or chol hadak, which is a fine sand that can also be used for a fertilizer. So the shear to take it out something significant is kedei lezabel kelach shel kruv, just one stalk over here of cabbage. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Chamamrim kedei lezabel krisha. The amount that you can take out is to fertilize even one krisha, one leek. So you see that even one is considered significant. Our Mishnah seemed to say all these zeronim, all these seeds are significant with two or sometimes even five. So Rav Papa, no. Hadizria, when you've already planted it, so then even one plant is considered significant. So the fertilizer is for one plant. But hadalozria, if you haven't planted it yet, then nobody's going to go just take out one seed to plant one type of a plant. You'll only take out a couple, two, five. So therefore, lefishein adam torech lotzi nima achas lizria. Nobody's going to just take out one seed, go plant one seed at a time. When one seed is already planted, then you'll fertilize that one because that's already chashav and important. Then we said, Zerak Yishuyim, the cucumber seeds, the minimum amount was two. The Deluim, the gourds, the minimum amount was two. The Pola Mitzri, the minimum amount was two. Tana Rabbanim. We learned in a Braisa, Motzi Garinin, if a person takes out the pits, the garin, the seed inside, so Im Linitia, if you're taking it out for the purposes of planting, Shtayim, then two is considered significant. Tosus points out, if you're actually taking it out now to plant, then even one is considered significant because you're making it significant. But here we're talking about if you have two of these garinim that are used for planting, so you have to take two out in order for it to be significant. In lachila, but if you're doing it to go and feed your animals, then the amount is kemlo pi chazir, the amount that a chazir will eat at one point in time. So Gemara says, "V'kama below pichazir, how much is this?" So achas, even one, is considered significant. Tosus points out over here, of course, you're not allowed to grow pigs. So pirush shiroi litin lovi kochavim. This would be the amount that you give to the ovi kochavim who has the pigs. Olim korlo to sell to him. Ali so also legadel chazir. A Jew is not allowed to go and raise pigs. The only time a yid can have pigs is if he inherits them, or if somebody paid him. You couldn't pay him in any other way. Paid him in pigs, so then you can have it for a period of time. It's not also to own it for any small period of time, but you get rid of them. Then the Gemara continues with the Braisa, Im Lahasik, if you're going to take these pits over here for firewood, Kedei Lavashel Beitzakala, then the shear is the amount that it would take you to cook this easily cooked egg, like we've spoken about previously, the roasted chicken egg. Im L'cheshbon, if you're using L'cheshbon, Rashi explains over here, L'cheshbon is like a place marker. So you go and, let's say, count something up, and now you have five of them. So you take one of these seeds, and you say that represents five. You count up another five, you take another seed, that now you have 10. So if you're using it as a place marker over here, im l'cheshbon, Rashi says, k'moshe nostum, simen l'chol dinar pashut. You go in and have a certain amount of dinarim, so you say, here, this will be the place marker for that. So the minimum amount then is shtayim. Achayim omrim chamesh. Others say, no, you need five to be place markers to be significant. First opinion said two. We continue with another braisa. Tana Rabbanon, hamotzi shnei nimin miznav asus miznav parah. If you take out two hairs that come either from a horse, a sus, or from a parah, that's considered significant, and you'll be chayv achatas. Why? Shematzdin also in lenishbin, because it can be used for nets. Rashi explains over here, lots of ofos, they would make certain types of nets to trap birds, and therefore these two hairs from either the tail of a cow or the tail of a horse are considered significant. Miksho shelchazir, the hard, spiny process of a pig, so that is achas. Even one of these hairs from the pig that's very pointy and sharp is considered significant, and Rashi explains that it would be used, nimen koshin shevishedra shelchazir, achas, he used one of them, dechazir liyashkofe, for a shoemaker, loseis berosh hamashicho shel tfira. He would use this as like a needle over here to go and make various holes, stitches in the shoe. So therefore, it's considered significant, even one. Tzuria dekel, the person takes out palm trees, the like lulav part of the palm tree, shtayim, two are considered significant over here. What would you use them for? So Rashi explains that you're making a wicker basket with them, and you need two of them to make the wicker basket. If you're, however, taking out tore dekel, if you're taking out the vine actually over here, Rashi says this is dakin mitzure, this is different than the tzure dekolim, it's thinner and smaller, and it's from the siv hagodel sivosa, this is like from the part of the palm tree that grows around it, and he doesn't know, Rashi says, I don't know what it's useful for, but the Gemara tells us achas, even one of them is useful. On the side, the Aruch brings down the chazi lit for a pidalas. Somehow you're going to use it to sew up the opening of a dalas, of a gourd over here, and that's considered significant. Then the Mishnah is quoted where it says, Tziporis kromim bein chaya be mesa koshu, this type of a locust over here, known as the Tziporis kromim, whether it's alive or it's dead, even a small amount is considered significant. My Tziporis kromim, what is it, Tziporis kromim? So I'm a rav. Palya biari. This is something known as palya biari. Rashi explains over here, this is the name, kachshimo, this is the name of this locust. Amar Abaye, umishtakach bediklo dechad nevora. It's found inside a certain type of a tree, a palm tree, known as the chad nevora. Rashi explains this is dekel bochor, a young palm tree. Shol nichrach adayin, doesn't have a lot of growth around it. Ela b'siv echot, shagadol sivosav. It only has one like growth around it, the siv, the karcho, and it wraps around it. So this creature, this locust, lives over here in this diklo dechad nevra. For avdilei l'chukba, why was it considered significant? Because Rashi says the person would eat this, liftoach halev, this would open up your heart and it would make you very wise. How does exactly this work? So this is a metaphysical thing the Gemara is now going to tell us. What you do is you take this tzipores kromim, the av delay over here, l'chokma, you want to get smart from it, ochole l'palga d'yamine, you eat the right side of this locust, it's a kosher locust, u'palga d'smali, the left side, ramile begufsa d'nechosha, you go put it in a certain type of copper tube. Again, we don't understand any of this. V'chosim lo b'shisin gushpanki, and you seal it with 60 seals. Rashi points out lav davka, doesn't mean over here 60. This is a number that we use as an exaggeration. It means a lot. El v'chaseyu kasyon harbe, you cover it up with several seals. You could go in zephes, one with pitch, v'shaiva, one with wax, and one with adoma, and you seal it in this way. So you have the left half of this locust over here, this tziporis kromim over here, in this copper tube, v'tolilei be'evra d'smola, and you hang it from your left arm. And v'simonech, how do you remember this? It says, lev chochem yamin, the smart part is on the right, the lev ksil d'smola, and the foolish one is on the left. So you hang this on the left to go somehow make you smart. Again, we don't understand any of this. V'chakim kamo d'boy, and you'll get as smart as you need to get by doing this. And then, if you want to go and retain that, then you have to eat this left side of this tziporis kromim, because otherwise, the law, if you don't eat it, miyako tamudo, anything that you remembered, you're now going to forget. Okay, we don't understand these types of gemaras. Review domer, afamotzi v'chuli. Then we have the Mishnah review that said that even if you take out the non-kosher locust, you chayav for even a small amount, because you'll also let a child play with a non-kosher locust. Now, the Tanakhama disagreed. Tanakhama said only a kosher locust is a mashu. So Gemara says, the Tanakhama sabra lo, Tanakhama says over here that you're not going to let a child play with a non-kosher locust, and therefore the shear is not going to be a mashu. My timer, why won't you let the child play with it? Because the Tanakhama holds, dilma ochile, because you may come to go and eat it. Non-kosher locust is not allowed to be eaten. It's treif. And therefore, if you let the child play with a non-kosher locust while it's alive, he may come to go and eat it. And therefore, we don't let you bring it out. Gemara says, Ihachi Torah Nami. So then, we shouldn't let you bring out the kosher locust as well, because maybe the child will eat that too. Now, we're talking here, no problem if he eats it while it's dead, but he may eat it while it's alive. The whole Rav Kahana, Havikom Kamei de Rav. Rav Kahana was once in front of Rav, Vavikom Aver Shoshiva Apume, and he had this locust that he held near his mouth. Rashi says this Shoshiva was Min Chog of Tar, and he put it near his mouth while it was alive. And Rav told him, stop! Omalei, Rav told him, Shatle, quick, take it away, because people are going to see you near your mouth with this locust, the lo lemru, mechal kochle. People can say, hey, he's going to eat that, and you're not allowed to eat that while it's alive. V'kavar mishum batishaktsu it's nafshoseicha. You can't eat a live creature. It's pasnish, it's a toeva, it's an abomination to eat, to shakates over here, to go eat a live creature. And therefore, Rav told Rav Kahana, don't put it near your mouth. So therefore, one sees over here that you wouldn't go and have this child eat a live locust. So therefore, how can we let the child take out a live locust? So obviously, we're not concerned that he's going to go and eat it. It's a toeva. It's about the shaktsu. And therefore, if we're not concerned about him eating the live locust, so how come we're not concerned about eating the non-kosher live locust? He shouldn't be concerned about eating either of them. So Gemara says, Ela dilma mayis yochle. Oh, because the kosher locust, if it dies, the kid will eat it. And there's no problem in that. But the Tanakhama says if you give the kid the non-kosher locust and it dies, he may eat it also. That would be a problem. And therefore, we don't give him to play with the non-kosher locust. So then, why does Rabbi Yehuda allow it? Rabbi Yehuda, how come he's not concerned? So he says, Imayis, if this non-kosher locust were to die, katan misbit sofidle, it's his pet. He's been playing with it. He's not going to go and eat it. So he'll do a misbait. He'll go and give it a eulogy. His pet died. He's not going to go eat his pet over here. He's not going to eat this toy. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says they're not concerned whether it's a kosher locust or a non-kosher locust. You give it to your kid to play with because that's what kid used to play with. And therefore, the shear is even a mashu for both the kosher and the non-kosher locust. Hadron lech omer rekiva, hadron lech omer rekiva, hadron lech omer rekiva. This concludes the ninth perek. Yitzhak Shem, tomorrow we'll start perek hamatzniya, the 10th perek.